What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frieder, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have DJ Milk Stash here on the show. Can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
All right, I'm DJ Milk Stash, also known as Erica Mueller. I'm from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I've been DJing, I guess, about 6 years now.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're super excited to have you on the show and we're super excited to hear your story as a DJ. So walk us through your journey. You know, what sparked your interest to become a DJ and walk us through your journey leading from there to where you are today?
It was kind of random how I got started. I used to bartend in the bar that I was working at. I was up there just hanging out for my birthday and the DJ that was playing that night, I just had a few drinks and got up there with him and he was showing me some stuff. And he said, look, you buy your own equipment. He said, I'll teach you how to do some stuff. And so next day I got on there, bought a laptop, the board, everything, and got going and just kind of took off from there. They let me start DJing there. And then I got some gigs outside of that. And then fraternity parties, sorority parties, weddings, drag shows, just kind of whatever I was needed for, just gone from there.
Nice. That's super amazing. You know, you kind of just saw the opportunity, you jumped right into it and you kind of hit the ground running with all these great opportunities that were coming up after, you know, your initial intro to the game. So yeah, we'd love to talk about, you know, some of the things that you were able to learn throughout that journey. You know, walk us through, you know, some of the things that you know now that you wish you knew when you were first getting started. We like to use your story to help other DJs in their journey. So what are some of the things that you learned about being a DJ throughout that journey?
I've had some good DJs that have really shown me how to do different things and kind of where I got my music from. One thing I wish I'd known sooner is there's an app called BPM Supreme and I had no idea about it. And so, you know, I was trying to buy music off iTunes and I mean, that gets expensive after a while and then trying to do stuff off YouTube or whatever. And so if I would have known that at the beginning, I could have saved myself a lot more money for sure.
Yeah. And tell us about this app so people can understand why it's useful and why they should look into it.
So it's basically a little subscription. I think it's $30 a month, but they have DJ sets that you can look into. They've got some songs have anywhere from like 5 to 20 different versions of the songs. They've got intros leading into it. So you can kind of beat match with other songs to lead into that one. And they've got some just cool remixes if you're into remixes. So it's been a blessing to have.
Awesome. That's really dope, hidden gem. So check out that app. What's the name of it again so people know?
BPM Supreme.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Do you have any other advice or anything else that has helped you throughout your journey that people should know about? I think these gems really help people in their journey so they don't make the same mistakes and they kind of learn from the things that you've been able to go through. So what are some of the, you know, hardships that have happened throughout your journey and how you're able to kind of overcome them as well?
One thing is you just kind of got to know your worth as a DJ. I mean, you get friends trying to book you or people that you kind of know and they expect you to give them a good deal, but you got to just know your worth and not be afraid to ask for that amount of money that you think you're worth and know your worth because you know you're going to have the party going the whole time. So you want to make sure you get paid for your time and what you're actually worth.
Yeah, that's super important. You know, the difference between being a hobbyist and a professional DJ, you know, you have to understand that this is a business. So you're DJing with your skill, you love it, but at the same time, you got to make some money. So being able to have that business augment to where you're understanding how to go about charging and sticking to your pricing, knowing your price and knowing your worth is super important. That way you don't get taken advantage of and you're able to, you know, build that business and be able to make money from the thing that you love to do, man. So I really appreciate that you shared that because some people really have a hard time charging what they should be charging. Do you have any tips for that in terms of how do you make sure that you stick to your price and go about getting new clients and charging properly?
I kind of do it based off events too, like weddings. I mean, there's more to weddings because you got to put a whole playlist together specifically for that group. But I set like an hourly price and I go from there, but that you got to include setup and breakdown and travel time and all that, because I mean, that's part of your day. I mean, if you're driving an hour to a wedding or a show, I mean, that's an hour of your time that you could have been doing something else. So, I mean, most people understand that. I mean, but I just set an hourly price and I go by that. And that's the easiest way to keep up with. And that way I'm not charging one person more than the other.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's fair pricing, you know, to make sure that you are consistent and then also you're keeping up with the market and that you're not going to be overpriced, you're not going to be underpriced. You can gradually increase and kind of test the waters where you're pricing, but you know it straight. So you can say it and sell it with confidence. That's one where people lack. They understand that if you're not saying the price with confidence, the person that's hearing it, they're not going to feel comfortable. Like, am I getting a good deal or is this the right price? You have to sell it with confidence so that they can come back and say, yes, I feel good about paying this DJ that price and going about getting the service that you're providing. So I'm glad that you pointed that out, because some people really don't get the psychology of selling and having that understanding of your pricing, keeping it consistent and making sure that you have a fair process of how you price is super important. This is really great. I'm super excited that you're sharing this and giving people insight on the way you go about your DJ journey. You know, what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I'm going to dive deeper into your brand and a little bit more about your story. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here with DJ Milk Stash. She's here telling her story about being a DJ. And we're super excited to hear your wonderful journey. So talk to us a little bit about your branding. Your name is DJ Milk Stash. Where did that name come from? And tell me a little bit more about what that branding means to you.
So it's always a funny story to tell people this, because when I bartended, I used to have this, I mean, we had all sorts of people that would come in this bar, and I had a guy, he's 6'8", just a big dude. And he would come in and he would always call me a tall glass of milk, because I'm 5'11", I'm tall, and I get really white during the wintertime. So I just, whenever I started DJing, I kind of wanted to play off the milk name a little bit just because it was funny. And Milk Stash just popped in my head and it just stuck. I mean, I started calling myself that from day one and it caught on. I have people who don't even know my real name. They just call me Milk Stash every time they see me.
I love it. It was a name that just popped up and you kind of just ran with it and started to build a name and a brand around it. And it's super important. The funny thing is, like, your name could be anything, but it's what you make that brand into that really sticks to people. So when you come around, they know your name, they're excited about that brand, and they want more of it. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what kind of vibe, what kind of energy, or what do people get when they book DJ Milk Stash? What does it really mean to have that name, that brand, and how do people, you know, perceive your brand?
I mean, it's always a party. You got to have fun with it. I'm going to be the first person that gets on the dance floor with everybody, get a good song going. I mean, you can't help but dance, and I get real antsy just standing in one spot, so I got to be dancing, and I mean, you got to keep the vibe going. You got to keep it. You got to read your people though. I mean, you got to read the crowd, but I mean, if you got people dancing, and just keep it going.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. And it seems like you're having a lot of fun as a DJ. And I love it when people have this genuine passion for DJing. You know, we spoke a little bit in the pre-show about, you know, DJing part-time, but also doing your full-time job. You know, talk to me about some of your long-term goals for your DJing. Do you see this as something you can do full-time in the future, or you think part-time for a long time, or what's your ultimate goal with the DJing?
I think I'm just going to keep going part-time. I mean, I love my job. I mean, you can't really ask for a better job that I've got. I mean, the perks are amazing. The company's amazing. So I definitely, it's a company I can retire with, and I plan on sticking with them, but I've always loved music. I just can't get away from the DJ, and it's just, I have too much fun with it. There's so many opportunities in Hattiesburg. I mean, we got a few DJs around here, but there's so much opportunity. And a lot of times we'll all be booked at different times, or say I can't do an event, I throw it to somebody else, or they can't do an event, we throw it to each other. I mean, there's just so much going on in Hattiesburg and Jackson and the coast. I mean, there's so much going on. I can't just walk away from it.
I love it. You know, most people that come on the show, they have this passion or this mission to become a full-time DJ and make it all about their life. But I'm really glad to hear that, hey, you're comfortable with the current full-time job you have, and DJing is great as a side hustle, and you're just walking in happiness and in your purpose of doing it, you know, as a part-time gig. And that's okay. It's super great that it's fulfilling, and it's filling the need that you have. And then also in the market that you have a community around the DJs that are in your circle and your community. And you guys are just really just going around like, hey, this is what we do. We do our job and we DJ on the side, and it's A-okay. And I really love that you have that dynamic, because you're living a fulfilled life. You're happy and you get to do what you love and also make a little money on the extra side. So I think it's a super cool dynamic, and I really like it. Do you use your job at all to get more clients, or are able to kind of leverage your job to help you in your DJ career? Like, how does that coincide?
I've actually put some events together for my full-time job. We've done some events where I'll set up and DJ outside a gas station, and we hand out free t-shirts, free lanyards, free koozies, kind of whatever we got. And Then at the same time, I mean, I kind of hype it up when I'm in stores, just talking to managers and cashiers. I'm like, hey, there's these events coming up. Like, y'all should come to them. I talked to a girl the other day. We actually have the same birthday. And so I've got an event next month on my birthday. And I was like, you got to come out. You got to come party with me. She was like, I'll be there. So.
Awesome. That's really great. I'm super excited. You know, when you have this love and passion for it and you can really just do it as a leisure where, you know, you have the stable income, then you can just do it when you want to. It's super fulfilling because you get to live the best of both worlds. You have the stable income and you don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. You have the luxury of being, you know, part-time and having this as just a bonus in your life. You know, I would love to hear, you know, what are some things in regards to learning lessons that you got throughout your journey, you know, DJing, there's ups and downs and there's things that people make mistakes and they learn from. Do you have any scenarios where you just like, this was a really bad day and you kind of learn from that scenario and got any learning lessons out of it that can help other people when these bad days happen to them?
I mean, you're going to hear no's. It's like when it comes to pricing, you're going to hear no's, or not everybody's going to be excited. I did a wedding one time where the bride and groom were going back and forth about they didn't want each other's music to be played, and it was just kind of frustrating, but that's when you kind of just look to your crowd and see which songs they're dancing to and just kind of go off of that. And I mean, you just got to look at it as like, you know what you're doing. So just do what you know.
Awesome. And it seems like you have a lot of confidence in that. And how are you able to build that confidence to kind of just know what's the proper way to go about the situation? Because it might be conflicting. You know, the bride wants one thing, the groom wants another. And how do you just have that confidence? Like, hey, this is the right thing. They trust you as a DJ to make those decisions. And at the end of it, everything's A-okay. So walk me through, like, what was able to help you build that confidence so you can go into the events, rock the show, and really do a great job?
Just, I mean, all the shows that you do throughout the years, you just build confidence. I mean, it's such a ego booster when you can play a song that gets everybody dancing. And I mean, the more you play the songs, you know that like every time you put that song on, the dance floor is going to fill up. So if it's looking like everybody's kind of like, oh, I don't really want to be out there dancing, or there's that conflict, just throw on that song and you know everybody's going to be singing, everybody's going to be dancing. It's just one of those things you have to build through the years and to see what works, what doesn't.
Wonderful. And I wonder, what do you think, you know, as a female DJ, do you think it's a little bit harder to navigate as a DJ, or do you think it's the same, or you have an advantage? You know, what's the vibe like being a female DJ? And I love the fact that, you know, you're able to really represent and hold down for female DJs, because there's not as many in comparison to how many guys are DJs. You know, what are your thoughts about, you know, just being a female DJ?
I mean, it has its up and downs. Like people do look at it as, oh, it's just a female. They kind of look at it that way. But then some people are so excited. Just they're like, that's so cool that you do this. Like, I want to see what you do. Then they come out and they're like, you're playing great music. So, I mean, you just got to be confident in yourself and know what you're doing and just have fun with it.
That's great. No, I love it. The female DJs that we've had on the show have really, really did a great job just explaining how they're navigating through DJing as a female and are able to, you know, embrace other female DJs and really have that kind of sisterhood within DJing, because it's super hard sometimes when you don't really have mentors or people to attach to. And sometimes being a woman, you have difficult or different challenges that the males have in the industry. Did you have anyone that helped or supported you in your journey as a DJ?
Not any females. I've had some really awesome DJs. Like I told you, Don King, that you interviewed a couple weeks ago. He's been awesome. I've had DJ House. He DJs now on the coast. He used to DJ at the bar that I worked at. He's been awesome. He's helped me through a lot of stuff. So I've had some good people show me along the way.
Awesome. No, I think it's super important because it's hard to learn on your own and be able to go on this journey alone. So by having mentors in your life and having people that you can lean on to support you and guide you through this pathway makes it much easier and much better as you progress within your journey. You know, do you have any tips or anything that kind of has helped you, any other resources besides mentorship that helps you improve and become a better DJ throughout your journey?
I mean, just watching videos or finding like a live stream of your favorite DJ. And especially if you're watching, if they've got a video of their hands and just kind of watching what they're doing and how they're mixing stuff. I mean, there's so many resources out there to be able to use. You just got to find them.
What are some of the resources, if you don't mind me asking?
I mean, I get on YouTube a lot and I watch videos. I find my favorite DJs and listen to how they make their mixes or how they transfer between song to song. And just seeing what they do and what works for them and what hypes the people up. And
awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of free resources out there. YouTube is a big one, Twitch, even podcasts like this one. You know, hearing the stories of DJs, you can really get a lot of insight on how you can progress and increase and better your journey as a DJ. So thank you for sharing that. You know, we use this podcast to help other DJs in their journey and to get people to get to know you and your story. So really, really appreciate that. You know, what are some things that we can do right now to help you in your journey as a DJ? You know, we have a community, over 3,000 DJs. We have a lot of party goers and people that listen to this podcast. You know, what are some things that you're doing now and how could we help and support you?
I mean, I've got some events coming up. I'm just excited that you're putting me on this. I mean, that's getting my name out there outside of Mississippi and getting my name out there more. And so, I mean, I really appreciate this.
Thank you. No, appreciate you being here. Your story is amazing. And we really appreciate you sharing it here on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about Mississippi. Like, what's the vibe out there and how's it being a DJ in Mississippi? I'm not too familiar with your town, but we'd love to hear just kind of a little bit about it and just being a DJ in that area.
Hattiesburg it's like a big little town. I mean, University of Southern Miss is here. So, I mean, you get all the college kids that are ready to party. And so you've got fraternities, sororities, you're an hour from the coast, 2 hours from New Orleans. There's always something going on here. You can always find something going on, whether it's a DJ, there's bands, always local bands. We have burlesque shows that go on. So, I mean, there's a little bit of everything. So it's awesome. A cool spot.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I definitely want to visit one of these days. Hopefully I can make my way out there and check out one of your gigs and being able to support you in real life. So looking forward to doing that. And do you have like an ideal client? If people want to book you, you know, who are the people that should probably reach out to you for gigs or anything like that?
I mean, honestly, anybody. I mean, like I said, I've done fraternity parties, sorority parties. I do weddings, I do drag shows. So, I mean, I'm involved in a little bit of everything. I really don't turn away a chance to play some music.
Awesome. Awesome. Super well-versed and talented. I'm super excited. Have an amazing brand, amazing name, talented, and you have done a lot within your journey. So I really appreciate you spending time with us today. Now at this time, we're going to jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Ready.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
So I run off a MacBook. I use Serato. I've got a Pioneer board. I've got 2 Yamaha speakers, and then I've got another speaker that I run in the front, and just lights. I love sound activated lights that just kind of go with the music. It looks even better doing that. So
who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, that's a tough one. I love Alice in Wonderland. She's been awesome to watch, and I've seen her live twice, and she always puts on such a good show. And I love her. I love Marshmello, the things he's doing. I mean, he does it all under a little mask and nobody knows who he is. I think that's so awesome.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and what made it special?
That's tough too. I love doing drag shows. They're so much fun. People just want to go dance and just have the best time. So you just play some music, let everybody get out there and twerk a little bit. It's always a good time.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
We've got Brewskies. We've got the Hippo downtown. They do anything from the burlesque shows to drag shows to having bands. A lot of our good bars have kind of shut down, but there's still some places to go to.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Well, I liked about what you and I were talking about before the show about how you're making it so the copyright issues aren't an issue. When COVID first hit, work had us working from home for about 3 months and there was nowhere to go to play music. So we tried to do a couple of Facebook live streams, and after about 3 or 4 times getting kicked off, it just gets frustrating. So.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Definitely DJ House. He's been awesome. Like I said, he used to DJ up here in Hattiesburg. He does a lot of stuff on the coast. DJ Misco, he used to DJ here in Hattiesburg, and then he moved out to Texas for a while, I think out in Austin. So those are 2 of my favorites that I've kind of grown up around as a DJ. So they're awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, now we look forward to hearing their stories one day. And any DJ that wants to share their story on the podcast can sign up at djsignup.com. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
I've got Facebook. I've got facebook.com/DJ Milk Stash. I've got Instagram at DJ Milk Stash. I've got a TikTok, but I don't really make a lot of them. But Facebook and Instagram are probably my big ones. Share all my events and stuff like that on there just to keep people up to date with what I'm doing.
Awesome. Awesome. Super exciting. And thank you so much for spending time with us today. You know, we have an interesting story and we're super excited to be here and supporting you and be able to just work with you going forward with the club. So thank you so much for being here. Everyone check out DJ Milk Stash. She's super amazing and doing an amazing job as she is doing her DJ career and her journey. So thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we look forward to seeing you in the club.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.